You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station.
All right, welcome to episode 90 of the Improv Save My Life podcast. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. This podcast is brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. We got two guests this week from the indie improv group Devlin Down. First up, we have Andrew Barlow. What's going on, Andrew?
What up, what up? I don't want to say that. That's from another podcast. I don't want to steal their thing.
How you doing, all right?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Andrew is a member of Devlin Down. He's also a member of the Improv Boston Herald Night team, Rabbit. It's a top shelf team, right?
Yeah, we're on top shelf 7:30.
That's the one Ben Walsh directs?
Ben Walsh directs us, yeah.
And you are also a member of Comedy Sports Boston.
Yeah, I only do Saturday shows, though. I won't go to the Riot. It's too far.
Lame.
I'll go there for indie night. I'll do indie night there.
All right, fair enough.
I don't have a car.
Where do you live?
I live in Oak Square. If anyone wants to know, I live at 31 Crabtree Oak Square.
You have so many stalkers after this.
That's not a real address.
Other guest this week is Tim Lanning. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Tim is also a member of Devlin Down, and he is part of several podcasts on Geekly Inc., including Cast of Thrones, which is a comedy podcast about Game of Thrones,
yes.
And Drunks and Dragons. Is that a Dungeons and Dragons
That's
podcast?
That's exactly what it is. We played Dungeons and Dragons, and right now, 5th edition.
And I haven't been invited yet.
You have not. No. You can't just have someone show up, necessarily, who doesn't know what they're doing. It could really break the RP.
I played one time.
Yeah, but you have to play it a few times to really get it. And then there's all my other people I do it with. And I just want to say, hey, here's this guy.
He's funnier than
you. Is the 5th edition a new edition? Because it seems like Dungeons & Dragons have been around forever.
Dungeons & Dragons has been out for a really long time. So you have, like, Dungeons & Dragons. You have Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. 2nd edition is...
I want to hop on what Tom's saying and point out that is it really a new edition
yes.
of a game, or is it like they've added things? And
no,
why
no.
can't they just do this new add-in?
No. They changed the whole thing. They get rid of powers. They get rid of classes. They add classes. Whenever a new edition comes out, all the rules change. So that's why it's a new edition. And the 5th edition just came out like last year, I want to say. And it's real fun.
Do you have to start all over? Like, all the points and stuff you got for your characters are gone?
Not necessarily. We just converted over to it, which means that we had to go through and be like, well, listen, DM, we don't have Devas
Who's
in
DM?
This. DM, Dungeon Master.
Oh, I thought you meant David Matthews.
David Matthews Band. Basically, you have to take things.
The ultimate getting, Dungeon Master.
Yeah, the best.
DM.
Bro, we are D20. It's you have to. This is a little more technical than maybe you wanted to go into, but here we are.
I don't.
No. We're here. Don't
no,
worry
it's
about
good. The
it.
Fans need to know. The fans need to
you
know.
You take it, and then you say, "Listen, there is no this race, this class. We're going to tweak it a little bit." So you do something called homebrew. You homebrew your stuff, and that is how you convert. Okay, what else you guys want to know?
Okay, so I'm a little curious. So you have you been playing Dungeons & Dragons? Your whole life?
No. It's actually kind of a
well, there goes that question. I was going to say that might help you with improv, because you're kind of making that up
well,
as you go.
Yeah, exactly. Like I actually started taking improv because I was doing the Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Good segue.
I did nailing it. And D&D, really, is just improv. Once you get rid of all the rolling and elves and dragons and shit like that, it's just...
Yeah,
straight
and
up.
I started improv because no one was inviting me to play D&D.
It's weird how that hasn't changed yet.
All right.
But I hadn't really played D&D for very long. I played it when I moved up here to Boston about 4 years ago, just to kind of meet some people. And then,
how does that happen though? Like,
my wife went to Harvard with a whole bunch of nerds, so really nerdy people.
I like that you hesitated on that word. As
well, I was gonna say nerd ass.
The other
nerds.
N-word.
Oh no! I was gonna say nerd ass nerds, but then I was like, am I swearing too much? I'm self conscious. I don't know what's happening. I'm sweating.
So you went because your wife's work friend said, "Come play D&D with us."
Well, yeah. Like her people that she was in a program and like, hey, I've been thinking about getting D&D. And like, I'm a nerd that hasn't done anything nerdy because I was raised religious, so D&D was evil, so I didn't do it. Yeah. Yeah. So now that I was kind of free and an adult to make my own GD decisions, started playing D&D. But we started it after we started our Game of Thrones podcast, and it was almost kind of like as a goof. It's like, we will play it as we learn. So our early episodes, we don't know what we're doing.
So you're playing as you do the podcast?
Exactly, exactly. If the podcast is not about D&D, we're playing D&D, so people follow story.
Yeah. And this 5th edition now has new rules, and we're going to tell you about that on this episode.
So there's inspiration.
I had a Dungeons & Dragons in television game.
Yeah.
It's just like predated Nintendo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. And I thought you meant it was a game on television.
No, it was the television.
Well,
was the name
was
of the system.
Show, though.
Right.
I mean, it's all over the place. And I don't know, especially if you're into like video games and stuff like that. It's
what D&D is.
D&D. Yeah. Yeah. Like there'll be video games that are D&D games. You just don't know.
Cool. Wasn't there a Dungeons & Dragons movie?
There was, with one of the Wayans brothers. It was real bad. Real bad.
Which one?
Ooh, don't put me in the stop.
The young one, my chicks. Which one's... Now I'm getting Marlon and Sean confused.
It's not... Is it Keenan Ivory? No. The young one from Don't Put Me in the Stop.
Marlon.
Marlon?
Yeah.
Got it. He was in it. Not a good film.
I'll look it up.
I watched it with my grandma, and my stepmom was very upset. Like, you took your grandma to see Dungeons & Dragons? Like, what?
It's against your religion.
It's on a movie. It's okay, because I wasn't doing it, but, yeah.
What if you were in the movie?
I remember being a kid thinking about that, like, what would I do if, for some miracle, I was something like in a movie.
Why'd you say the word miracle?
Because I was a Christian bully.
Oh.
If I was somehow like in a movie and I'd like kiss a girl on stage or swear.
It's not illegal.
It's
bad.
But you'd be forgiven because it wasn't you, it was your character.
I don't know, man.
Your character had to say the... Can I say the F word?
Yeah.
Yeah, the F word on camera. Character had to say the F word.
Good bit.
I'm a bit mad.
But, it was like, you gotta be afraid of all your actions. You know, you don't want to make something bad happen to you down the road.
I feel that. It's like you don't want to steal candy even though it's harmless because even that little consequence could follow you.
Exactly.
Karma.
Exactly.
All right, I see what you're saying.
Well, we wouldn't say karma, that's evil. But
all right. Excuse me.
All right, Tim, we've kind of gotten some of your stories, so we might as well go through. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Stop hitting the chair. It's going to pick up on the mic.
I hit the chair. It's kind of a weird thing, because when you leave Florida, you start to see the way everyone sort of like thinks about Florida, which I didn't really expect. And now,
I think Disney World and old people.
Yeah, exactly.
And Miami.
You get Disney
World. Yeah, and Miami. Miami's a different state.
Exactly. And then you also get like those weird like stories. I don't know if you follow the man from Florida or guy from Florida Twitter account.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's just like insane stories of what like criminals accidentally do in Florida. So once you leave, like, it's like, oh, wow, that place is weird. Very pretty, but very, very, the people there are very strange sometimes. Some are great. If you're from Florida, you're great. But some of them.
When did you move out of Florida?
I went to college in North Carolina. Once I graduated from college, I moved to St. Louis. And then I lived in St. Louis for like 2 years. And then I...
For work?
Kinda, sure.
Do you have any friends in St. Louis still?
My brother lives there.
Oh, I'm going to St. Louis on a road trip. Can I get a place to stay for free?
Probably.
All right, we'll talk.
I've had a friend that accidentally stayed there for like a week.
No, I don't need him. I heard St. Louis sucks.
St. Louis can suck. It has delicious food, and it's pretty fun. Really cheap beer. It's a real fun place to visit if you're visiting.
This is like a travel podcast.
Yeah. Here's the place you should go. Yeah. Florida's fun if you're visiting for the location. St. Louis is fun if you know people because you just drink and eat.
Nice.
Yeah. So then I basically was like, I don't like St. Louis. And then my wife is in Boston, everyone talked about how Boston was great. And this is I moved to St. Louis because I graduated in like that 2009-ish recession. So I was like, I can't get a job. So I lived with my brother for free. Then I was like, this sucks. And I moved to Boston and have not looked back. That was about 4 years ago.
Cool. Yeah. Then you got really into D&D.
Yeah, accidentally. I accidentally got really into D&D, played with some...
Man, you have a tattoo now.
Yeah, I have a D20 tattoo right here. You can see it.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is real.
It's real. Yeah. That's part of a larger story.
So that's a 20-sided die?
20-sided die, yeah. basically, a group of us got together. We did a fan conference for our podcast down outside of Chicago last year. And then, like, eight of us got the D20 tattoo as kind of like a commemorating thing. But, yeah.
I was thinking of D12, which is Eminem's band.
Well, there is a D12.
All right.
Certain weapons.
All right. So you moved to Boston, got into D&D. What led you to get into improv?
I kind of mentioned it briefly earlier. I was kind of in a bad place mentally, sort of, where, you know, when you get in your mid to later 20s and you're like, okay.
Oh boy, do I.
Well, you give it time. So I'm 29 now, but like when I started.
Oh, the double ARP, man.
I know. It is pretty...
I'm 26.
But like in 2013, I was like, all right, man, there's all these things that you haven't done. You're kind of in a bad headspace. Like the job I was doing and still am technically doing was...
Ooh, they're going to hear this and fire you.
Hey, I quit the job and I told them exactly why, so they know that they did bad. But basically, it was like, I have to start making drastic changes, sweeping, like, just try weird stuff. And I always wanted to do, like, comedy of some sort. And I was like, okay, this will help my D&D, this will help my Game of Thrones talk. And just took classes and started, and then...
Did it help with D&D in
the
podcast?
It did very much so, yeah. Almost too much so sometimes, because there'll be situations where I can feel myself like no, we should the scene's going this way. Or like I'll find myself
sweeping scenes.
Exactly. No, no.
New game.
New tavern, start over, let's go. Because I can find myself accidentally being like too, like, pushy.
Yeah, like, in that, like, I get, like, kind of conversations, like, the funny thing of the conversation
right.
is this way, and you are going the weird way.
Right, or, like, getting all high and mighty, like, well, I was funny because I set up this nice little thing, and then this other thing happened.
You destroyed it.
Yeah, and then, but you cut someone's head off and made a dick joke. That's not as good as me. So, that has gotten away a little bit, but for the most part, oh, absolutely, because just the ability... improv to not feel dumb, you know, because when you're getting on stage you pretend to be a toilet or whatever, it has a lot of, you know,
that's a great scene. Initiation.
Yeah.
I always walk on and wait for someone to sit on me and then I say flush
if someone doesn't say if someone does not say that you are not a toilet,
then you're a toilet.
You're probably a toilet.
Probably a toilet.
But pretending to like fight dragons or have conversations with wizards, you know, there are two skills that are hand in hand, and they're both great because they can both lead to like amazing stuff. So D&D is really fun. You should play D&D, especially if you're into improv.
Have you ever pitched a D&D show, or have you ever done a D&D show?
The Magic: The Gathering is probably too similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's two completely different things, but yeah, it would be a waste. But you're entirely right. The only way to do it on stage would be very similar. Because, yeah, like, I haven't really thought of how to pitch it, but, you know, it would be, you know, your adventurers.
I still think that you should just pitch a live podcast and do a live podcast.
Yeah. Well, the issue is we record remotely, so instead of having this beautiful microphone in front of us, we have, you know, like, Google Hangout and Audacity and things like that. So we can't do it that way. But, yeah, you're right. We should do something like that. That'd be fun. Yeah.
So you... went through the IB training center?
I did all of IB, yeah. I met up with Andrew in 301.
Jackie Arco,
yeah. 301. I was lucky enough
to... she said to us, you two are so freaking
good. You two
good.
Are so, can I say, goddamn funny. And she ripped
say GD.
She said, you two are so GD, but she didn't say GD. so GD funny. I may quit improv, yeah, but you shouldn't.
Get the F word out of here.
Get the F word out of here.
You're too good.
You're too good. She said that. But
we stayed.
We stayed. Yeah. We're like, maybe, I don't know. And then fast forward like a couple sessions, and Andrew formed an indie troupe.
No, there was only one session. Now.
Whatever, man.
We can talk about that in the application when it's my turn.
Okay.
I want to tell the origin story.
I don't know the origin story, really. I guess, you know, just, I don't know. Why'd you pick me?
Because you, in our class, there was you, friend Jessica, and Amit. I think, like, we, maybe because we were closest in age, but we all just got along really well. And I only needed, like, three people.
Okay. Well, that's not really what I was fishing for. But
closest in age.
Yeah, closest in age. Yeah, that would work for me.
I figured our team could have longevity because we're all the same age.
Most likely won't die.
We'll all die around the same time.
Yeah. When we're 70 and still doing this, there's not that much age difference. I'll be closest to death, yeah. But...
when the improv's on the moon, we'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be gone.
Yeah.
You see the moon. You see
the
moon.
Oh, no, don't say that. Pluto, that's in the news.
You'll be gone, Tom. You'll be watching from Mars.
Yeah, with your space respirator or whatever.
Yeah. The pressure's lower so you can survive longer.
And I used to be on a freshman.
I'll be watching Devlin Down from
Mars on television.
Yeah, at the riot.
It will be just as bad.
At the riot on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And Andrew's like, we'll go here on the weekend.
Yeah. We'll go here on the weekends. And everyone tells me how there's not a week anymore.
There's no such thing. There's
no such thing as a
days. There's multiple, what's 24 hours? Because you're traveling.
You're on the moon, or you're on the Mars, or you're on the Earth.
Your velocity's different. Your speed's different. Time's it's all relative, really. Same thing, Rob. That's true.
What were you going to say? You used to be on Fresh Blend?
I used to be on a Fresh Blend team at Strangelove. So I, you know, kind of got into the IB system a little bit more. And, you know, when we first started, we got into, what was it?
Studio 40.
Studio 40 pretty quickly. So it was kind of one of those
Too quickly.
Too quickly, if you ask me. So it's kind of one of those things like, okay, I guess I'll just, I don't know why I picked IB over IA. I think it was just closer. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Probably. And once I kind of got in, I was like, okay, I'll go here, see what's up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Andrew, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Long Island, Levittown, New York. Levittown, Long Island, New York. Even though everyone always thinks I'm from Boston.
Somebody commented that you have a strong Boston accent.
I know.
Like, he's not from Boston.
Yeah, he's not from Boston at all.
You have a little surprise coming.
No, so neither of my parents speak English. They're both deaf, hard of hearing. So I had to, in New York, they have a school called BOCES, which is like basically like the school for, they do technical stuff and also like special needs. So like I had to go to a special preschool to learn how to speak English. And the person who taught me was not only from Boston originally, but also, according to my dad, and I don't know how he would know this because he can't hear, but according to him, the woman was also teaching me, like, proper English like they speak in England.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I've gotten, people have told me I sound Australian, so I've gotten that from people, and I'm like, what?
That's weird.
Yeah, so I don't know what that, all the accents mesh together.
Did it take you a while to find, like, your actual speaking voice? You were getting, like, different inputs.
Oh, I have no idea. I know my first word is sign, like, Jesus Christ, there's a fight happening next door.
There's punch in the wall.
I know my first sign language word was, I don't know anymore. I lived for 20 years, I thought it was ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, my mom told me it was home. And I said I wanted to go home. So now I have no idea. It's one of those two, but I don't know my first word in English.
I mean, just like, if you were getting a Boston accent, English accent, like, did it take you a while to, like, just figure out yourself, like, how you should sound?
Yeah, especially hearing Long Island all around you, too.
Yeah, probably. I had to be in, like, speech therapy for, like, up until fifth grade. Once I finished fifth grade, they were just like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, because I think that's actually your accent is your speech therapy stuff. And,
yeah.
And people are like, oh, it's Boston. I'm like, well, there's a little bit there, but...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Me and my two brothers sound exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I think it's, maybe, like, elementary school, I probably was just, like, Once I got out of speech therapy, I was like, oh, F it, man.
This is me.
Do you have any hearing issues?
No. I'm just ignoring you if I don't hear you.
No. Remember that.
But what's funny is because people always said to me that, like, oh, I don't know if it's funny, but I'll tell you what it is, is that people always would say, like, oh, you sound like you're from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I looked at schools in Boston in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is funny.
So I came, like, it's one of the reasons I, like, came up to college here. And then when I got here, everyone's like, oh, you're from New York? All the, like, Boston people could just tell immediately.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, people from Boston think I'm from, like, no one from New York. People from New York think I'm from Boston. Everyone else has no idea, usually.
That's...
And I like to live in mystery.
Yeah, you're a man of... You should just lean into the Australian thing, because you'd be a man of so much mystery, no one can tell.
I don't say down under.
Yeah, shrimp.
Shrimp.
Yes.
Shrimp.
And you're fluent in sign language.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted you.
No, I don't know. Yes.
No, the Barbie. Shrimp on the Barbie.
Shrimp on the Barbie, yeah, that's what I was doing. I was doing a good Australian accent.
Oh, very good.
I'm Vin Diesel. Is he from Australia?
No. Oh, but Vin Diesel.
Why,
he
of all people, what do you think Vin Diesel is from?
He loves Diesel.
The only action hero is from Australia.
Oh,
Hugh Jackman.
Loves
I guess
D&D.
I should have gone with Hugh Jackman. It's guaranteed.
Vin Diesel loves
D&D. No, but I came up here for school, and I've been here ever since. I haven't. 2006, maybe.
Boston's pretty great.
Yeah, it's a good city.
Cool. How did you find yourself getting into improv?
So I actually did, like, sketch comedy stuff the summer after my first... No, actually, the summer before my first year of college.
You were writing or performing or both?
Less writing, more performing. So my buddy Bill Peterson, or on the internet, if you want to look him up, he's known as Al Chessbreach.
He's famous.
He has, like, a YouTube channel and stuff. He wanted to do some sketches. He was, like, really into comedy and stuff. So, and we were that group of friends who, like, listened to a lot of stand-up and, like, watched, you know, SNL when we were home on Saturdays. And this was, like, before YouTube. So, like, you didn't really, like, you didn't watch it on TV because it's before 2006
yeah.
when YouTube got really big. So he wanted to do some sketch stuff. So we actually got, like, a public access television show in my local county. And put up a show called Suburban Pandemic. And he would write most of the scripts. Like, I would help, like, I'd be like a set co-writer, I guess. Like, but he was the main writer.
Did you use the equipment from the channel?
They didn't give us anything.
Yeah.
We used his, like, home video camera. Or, like he might have had, like, a nicer camera with a mic on top, some, like, later on. But I know we started with home video camera. And yeah, we did that sketch show. But it was interesting. It was like we would more or less write a skeleton of a script and the dialogue and like, but all the beats were there.
Right.
And we'd like figure, and the stories would be edited during filming. And we're like, that doesn't make any sense. And like, we'd change it.
I've done a couple video shoots and I kind of like the model of having a script, but then doing a couple takes where you just improvise.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they do. Like, that's what like, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay do. They like
yeah.
shoot like two or three takes of the actual script and then they kind of riff on it and they do a bunch like that. Because like when you're actually in it and you're like living it, it might feel different.
Right.
So I did that for two summers. I did like acting in high school, whatever, musical theater, all that stuff. So I was always into like acting. And then in college I did like a little some like short play acting through a group at BU. And then kind of just stopped and after grad school. And I was always, like, interested in acting and wanted to do that stuff and wanted to get back into it. So I, like, started looking up classes I could possibly do. And I don't remember who, but someone from Liquid Fun at BU, like, told me to come by and try out the group. So I did, like, I was a grad student at the time. So I did, like, one class.
Liquid Fun?
It's the BU's undergrad improv group. But I was a grad student, so I couldn't, like, join.
Hmm.
So I did, like, one practice with them, and it was, like, fun, kind of intimidating, and then I didn't do it for, like, a month or two, and I, like, looked up the improv theaters in Austin, and IB was cheaper, so that's why I looked at IB. And they had a scholarship, which I, like, applied for, ended up getting, so I was able to take the classes, and...
What year was that?
2013, so January 2013 was my first session.
I started around the same time, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Same.
Well, at IA.
Across the river, baby. Wow. Yeah, and then I stayed classes there. But I always knew about IA, And I wanted to do, like, both schools because I heard from people, like, IA's more like Second City and IB's more like IO, just like, you know, to relate them to Chicago. So that's what I heard. And so I was like, I want to learn both. So later, like, I think when I got into level 4 or 5 at IB, I was working at IA by then and started taking classes there too.
I have a lot of respect for people that do both programs. I mean, it just shows you want it. You know, be good at it.
Yeah, it's smart just to hear the different, you know, philosophies and so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having other directors and teachers be like, here's what you do in a classroom setting versus a director setting.
And, like, what I like to think of it, like, in the musician sense of, like, when you become a musician, like, they kind of tell you to listen to all different types of music to develop your own
right.
sounds. That's how I kind of think about it, like, you should take in all this different comedy, kind of figure out what you like and take the bits and pieces and make your own thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, even if you look at the few people I can think of right now off the top of my head that have done both, so you, Rosna, Cade, you know, you're all really talented. You know,
oh, Cade.
So, yeah.
I thought you said Cade. I was like, Cade McKinnon? Yeah, Cade.
He's super funny.
He's very funny, yeah. So is Rosna.
Yeah.
She's on Torco now. She's killing it.
Killing it.
On what?
She's on IB's touring company.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I like to, and now, and I lately, because I'm finished with both programs, I like want to keep pushing myself. So I've been doing, trying to do UCB stuff too when I can go to New York.
Nice.
Which one's better between IA and IB?
I think it's just like totally different. It's so different.
Damn, I was hoping I was going to get you. That'd be real political.
No, it's honestly, it's two different shows.
I took level 1 at IB,
mm-hmm.
and I'd want to go through the whole training center, but it's tough monetarily and starting over.
Yeah.
With people who are brand new.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
yeah.
taking
the only cool part is, like, people are like, you're amazing. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
right. I know how to play these level 1 games.
I'm the world's best musical symphony ever.
And also, like, such a big part of it is confidence. And it's like, when you already know it and you're not a level 1 person who might be diving in for the first time, you're, like, more comfortable.
Yeah.
And just with that alone, it gives you stage presence and you just seem better.
I remember when I took level 1, I was like, oh, the number one thing to do to survive this and be good is just to be louder than everyone else. Is because everyone's like,
that's
oh,
not good advice.
Well, it is for 101 because it's like, no one's talking because they're all like kind of afraid about being on stage and like, I'm saying, stop, no, look, we're not in a store. Then you're like, we're in a store.
And level 1, be super loud.
Be loud, but don't yell.
And develop that habit.
Yeah. And that's because people even now will get on stage and like, I can't hear you.
Someone, I don't know who it is. People stage whisper to me on IB stage. It's probably during jams.
Yeah, stop.
And I'm like, if I can't barely hear you, there's no way the guy in the back of the audience can hear you. Especially
space.
Like IA, because it's like that place gets packed. It's a 200 person theater.
Yeah.
So if you can't hear someone on stage, there's no way people. Like, I remember in our grad show, like practicing for that, that was something Jeremy Brothers would always yell at us for. Talk louder.
Yeah.
They
it's just such a simple like note because you just get out there and then if you talk quietly, sometimes your characters seem weak or not unsure, and then you by extension, so like, oh, that person's embarrassed about being on stage. They're not comfortable. They're not confident. So just crank
that
volume up.
There's that weird whispering at full volume thing
yeah.
that people do.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a silent contract between you and the audience. Yes, you are yelling, whispering. But you do it in the whisper voice.
Like when you're telling a secret.
Shut up, the cops will see us. You know,
yeah, classic.
Classic.
Classic improv move.
Yeah.
So you were like the first person that ever mentioned my podcast to me, which was cool. I was like,
really?
Yeah. It's like, does anybody know about this? Anybody listen to this?
Thank God.
Oh, that's how I get my ins.
I was like, hey, somebody knows about it.
I think it was the Will the Wearer episode, like the first one. I think you did a couple, right?
Yeah, it was one of the first 10 I think I did.
Yeah, I think I saw you post it in a community page. And I don't know if we were friends on Facebook by then, but I know, like, when I first got on that community page, I found out from Francesca. She, like, told me about an audition. And I was like, how do you know all these things?
Yeah.
So she's like, there's a freaking Facebook group. Just join it. And then, like, I would be on that all the time. Yeah. Well, it was, I saw it and I was like, good. Someone's doing it. And that's when I was really into Matt Best's podcast. So I was like, oh, cool. There's a Boston one?
Yeah.
Oh,
hell yeah. I got to get on that. 2 years later.
70 episodes later.
Yeah, what the hell?
I've been busy. No, it's not Tom. I don't blame him. He's asked me before and we had to cancel. It's my fault.
But I've kind of watched you progress somewhat. I think you've come I don't want to say a long way because that makes it sound like you sucked.
No,
I did. I was fucking dog shit.
You're bad.
I kind of remember your first. I think it was your first house teams night, and you seemed super nervous.
Yeah.
But then you've developed into like just totally confident, competent improviser.
Yeah, so. My first house team show. Holy fuck, man, was I nervous?
I was kind of cringing, like, oh, this is the dude that likes my podcast.
I made it onto my house teams. My first audition, like, I was like, I don't deserve to be here, and like. Oh, I'm still nervous. And the worst part about it was, like, I had not a great show, and then I got into the lottery, my first house team's night, and I was just like, fuck, and I can't not do it. So the lottery is what they do at the end of the night.
Uh-huh.
Some of the main stage performers, like, pull names out of a hat, and it's people from house team from the lower house teams
yeah.
to get to play with them.
Have the honor.
Yeah, have the honor to come on up and play with them.
I've gotten picked so many times for the lottery, and I don't think I've had any good scenes in the lottery. Even when I've had good nights, like, at house teams, like, on my teams, but once I get to the lottery, I don't know why. I just can't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big personalities on there, so it's tough to find your moment where you're not just a background character.
Yeah. That stuff is always hard.
But, yeah. I was definitely nervous my first. You know what's funny is I was even already on Havelnight team my first night. But it was just like, it's so different because you're in the fishbowl.
Yeah, people looking at you from all sides.
And like IB, you got like 5 feet before the first audience.
Yeah, and
that.
It's
yeah.
so dark in IB that you can't really see the audience.
Yeah, it's much more,
it's like a theater.
Play theater versus
yeah, like
play an
theater.
Improv theater.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think like occasionally I'd bounce off because I was trying out for house teams forever and just was not making it. And I think I would talk to you about it sometimes. You're like, just stick with it. And I did. Now, I've had just finished my third run.
Yeah, you were killing on house teams.
I felt like I'm not a like cocky person. Like I hate bragging, but I felt pretty damn good about like my last couple runs. So
yeah, you own
sure.
it. Earn
yeah,
it.
Own
you
it.
Do it.
Say you're good.
You do it. Say it.
Say it right now, Tom.
I'm good.
Say it like you ask. Say it like you fucking mean it, though. Jeez.
You're crying.
I'm pretty confident that as long as I don't fuck up my audition completely, that I will continue to be on house teams.
All right, time
now
time
that I put this on the record,
Not gonna worry. There's nothing of real wood in this. Come on, MIT.
No.
Wait over here.
So, you are. So you said you were on a Herald night before you were on.
I was on a Fresh Blunt team, Lahidi Mo. I got on that because I didn't start house teams until October of 2013, I believe, because I had to wait from when I got hired. I couldn't just jump into classes free, and I had to take 201 anyway, so I definitely didn't get on right away. And then I got onto Lahidi Mo in January. And then probably like a month or two, whenever the next round of auditions was, the first one of 2014, was I was in 301, so I could audition and I got on the team.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're taking that like 301 alongside like 401, 501 at IB?
No, I was in IA's 301 when I was in IB's 601.
Got it.
Yeah. But it's very different. So IB's, the way the curriculums work is, I mean, they don't necessarily give, IB gives you, like, this is Harold, like, 401 is Harold, and now they're kind of moving towards, like, 101 is this, so I don't really know what it is now, because they're changing the curriculum. I know that 601 is all form,
mm-hmm.
501 is general long form, beside, like, after the Harold, so, like, living room, Armando, that kind of stuff, and
right.
then 401 is how. And then IA is more like, I guess I never took 101. They let me skip it.
Mm-hmm.
But 201, I believe, was character and point of view.
Interesting.
They kind of work more on, like, the skills as opposed to...
The formats.
Like, they focus on the skill, whereas IB has the format while they... It's like the reverse.
Into shows.
The way
Here's the show.
Works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with taking on too many projects?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Scheduling can be hard for, like, certain practices. For practice.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
It's annoying for you guys. But because I'm very willing to do weekend stuff, and my weekends are usually free, but I know, like, people want to travel and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, 9-to-5s make it hard, man. I wish we could just do this during the day, right?
I've been trying to figure out a way. It's pretty fucking hard.
One day, man.
We're improvising on the moon.
Yeah.
Finally, we made it.
That moon problem.
We're geriatric fucking improvising on the moon.
You want to take me through how Devlin Down came about?
Let me just say,
having worked with a ton of indie teams, Devlin Down is really, really fucking good.
I appreciate that, because I think we're a dog shit right now.
When I haven't seen you lately.
I'll say this. About a year ago, we were one of the best in Boston that I saw. I think.
Yeah.
That's why I'm allowed to say.
It's mainly because, like, it's again, because we're all so busy now.
Yeah.
Like...
We don't practice together as much.
Andy's doing Mighty Zevlin and Fine Line now, and Francesca is doing the So That Happened, and she's directing a Spice Girls, and she was doing Dream Phone for a while.
Right. So it's like we can't even get together to practice, much less if we do get a show, then not everyone can even go to bat.
Yeah.
So
we're trying. We're trying to keep it going, but, you know, it is what it is, and if we all move eventually. That's the thing. Like, I don't think any of us will ever be like, let's break up, because... We have so much fun doing it.
Exactly.
And I think that's why we have good shows, is because we are having so much fun playing on stage that's part of it. Like, as an audience member, you want to be having fun with the people on stage.
Yeah,
and that's the reason a lot of us got in, like, really, really got into improv, is because we were watching main stage shows and being like, I want to be fucking up there with them.
Look how much
they're
giggling and laughing.
Yeah, if you look at, like, Cuddle Party right now, they have that going on.
Yeah, like,
I
watch them fucking around, and I'm like, oh... I'm friends with all those people. I never have that much fun. I want to be up there.
Right.
So I knew Andy Devlin through a mutual friend that he went to high school with, and that I went to college with that person's sister. So, like, me and him had talked a few times, and we knew each other, were taking classes at IAB, so we knew of each other. And one day when I was in 401, he just, like, Facebook messaged me and was like, I have a cage match next week. Or, like, in 3 weeks or something,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a team. I have me, Evan, my friend Danny Marchand, who's on a Tide Pool now.
Yeah.
He had those three, I think. I think that was it.
Sounds right. I don't know.
It might have been one. No, and Robin.
Okay, she was there at that time?
Was she there for Super Creative Team?
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe not Robin. She's with her. She does improv with Urban Improv now. It's like a nonprofit organization. So he had those three, and he's like, we need a team. Do you, like, know anybody from classes you want to do improv with? So I was like, yeah, sure. So he said maybe, like, three or four. I ended up getting four. So I got,
of course.
I said, Tim, Arnold, and Francesca, you guys want to do a cage match? And, like, that was it. And then we was called Super Creative Team.
Yeah, there's a little fumble with the old name thing. So.
Yeah,
but that's
the way we ended up getting our name, too, was a bunch of fumbling around.
Yeah. Well, I thought that calling ourselves Super Creative Team sort of gave it a light, dumb vibe that helped us.
We should go back to that.
We should go back to that.
I want to be Super Creative Awesome Team, and then Scat for short.
Yeah, that's a good name. That's a legitimately a good name. And most agree. But we did really good at a cage match.
Yeah, we did great. We had such a good time at the cage match, and we won a bunch, and we got to playoffs, and we were kind of done. And then before the cage match... Before the next Studio 40 auditions were over, I said to Andy, I was like, you want to just fucking submit this for Studio 40 and just see what happens? And we were working with Ben Walsh, who was our director at the time. Mm-hmm. He was like, do you guys want to keep going after the cage match, or do you want to just say Andy? Because he only directed us, like, once or twice. Like, nothing, like,
format. Right, just enough to be able to check off the box that we have a director.
That we have a director.
Yeah.
And so he was down. And
Evelyn down.
And then, so we were, like, debating about names. That was the big issue. It was like, what's our name going to be? And by this time, Robin had joined because we had some of our cage match shows. We were short people, and we had Robin.
Yeah, we had, like, randos step in. Then we finally found another girl to join us.
Yeah, we wanted a girl. We're all about diversity.
We love diversity.
Now we're four men.
Sometimes four ladies.
Four regular men with two reoccurring ladies.
One of the men is an Indian, so it's okay.
Oh, he is, though.
He's Indian.
Whenever I feel bad,
it's like at least we have someone that is brown.
He's very proud of it.
Yes.
So we submitted, fucking got on to Studio 40, and I submitted. So the name Devlin Down comes from like me saying it as a joke, because the way Andy had asked me to do the cage match was like, oh, Devlin's down some people. Devlin Down. And then everyone was arguing about it. I just submitted it anyway, and it just became our name.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's accidentally stuck, even when Andy Devlin...
We fucking wrecked that stage.
Destroyed it.
Yeah.
We did. Our Studio 40 was okay.
We was too good. That's why they didn't recast us. They said, you guys need to be on the main stage.
Yeah, you guys are making everyone look bad for all your laughter and stuff. And we have to keep replacing seats because of all
the
pee
and
stuff.
Yeah, all the piss, and we can't let people sit there.
Yeah.
I used to get wicked confused by like Devlin Down, the Mighty Zevlin, was like Devin Quinlan. I'm just like,
it's tough.
Too many
Devins.
Especially because.
And then like Andy's not in Devlin Down anymore.
Right.
No,
like,
he is now, but he's not. He claims he's back.
Even though he's not around a lot, but he's back.
BNTS fans, when you see Andy Devlin on the street, ask him what's up.
Come on, miss him.
Andy's directing my two-person group
He says you guys are killing it.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we tank it.
I haven't seen you guys perform yet, but I've heard only good things from Andy. And I've seen you both perform separately, and I think you're both funny. And he's with Laura, who's on Duchess now on Howl Night.
I don't know.
We have.
She's mainly IA. This is her first IB. Maybe she's done some indie stuff in the studio. But first, IB's teaching.
We're very similar. Like, we came up with monotone because we're basically very low energy when you talk to us. But we have a similar sense of humor, so it works.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. Find the person that... That's why you and me do good scenes together. Because we're fucking weirdos.
Yeah, we lock in the weird and just go. It's kind of why I've just been following your lead for improv stuff. It's like, comedy sports, okay. Harold Knight, do it.
So your D&D is comic books, correct?
Oh, what is my nerd
Your
thing?
Nerd shit?
Yeah, my nerd shit is definitely comic book. It's funny, I didn't realize this until...
I'm a huge comic guy, too, so...
Yeah, dude. Comic books are dope. What's funny is... I keep saying what's funny, and you guys can decide if it is.
our silent glaring...
Yeah, stop saying that. It's not funny. I was super into like an animated series and Smallville and shit like that. And I had like some like one-off issues or random graphic
animated series
here.
Of Batman.
Of Batman or Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much Superman because it was a little before
Superman sucks.
Time I started watching TV. No, but that's the thing. I had like one-offs and graphic novels of Superman.
First I watched TV. Did you like start watching TV at a later age?
Well, like, to remember it, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Like, to really follow it and be like, oh, Batman, and I want to watch that. Because Batman 1, I believe, it was the second one. Second animated series after Superman. Like, in that style, that Bruce Timm style. They know what I'm talking about, Tim. You don't need to roll your eyes a bunch.
I loved it. That show was dark, and it made me sad sometimes.
Oh, it's so good. And it was just interesting for me because my parents... in a different kind of culture. So, like, they still raised me, and I don't want to ever discredit that. Like, I still got a lot from them. But there was definitely times where, you know, I was reached into the comic books and, like, the whole idea of Superman being the truth, justice, and doing the right thing. I definitely, like, pulled a lot from that growing up. But, yeah, so that's why I, like, still freaking really love comic books and stuff like that.
like the whole thing. Now that you're an adult, you can spend your money.
Yeah, and I can afford collecting them and doing that.
That's why, you know, there's so many man babies now, is because all these kids are like, they don't have money for it. Like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm buying graphic novels.
I'm fucking rich. Fuck it.
And then they're like, I don't want to take you out to eat. It's too expensive.
Too expensive.
I've got to buy a graphic novel.
But today is comic book day.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But yeah, so that's my D&D.
Even when I used to drink, which that's all I really used to do, I was still into comics. And like Wednesday nights, I would get 2 pints of vodka and like all the
two
new...
2 pints?
Dude, I was a mess. Oh, boy. I just drank until I passed out every night. But it was my favorite night of the week because I would just read and drink and read.
Drink and read until you fall asleep. Yeah. Comic book read. That actually does sound like a lot of fun.
Besides the sad and bad part.
Yeah.
Cut
back all the emotion.
Yeah. I don't know why you're doing it, but...
Focus on the childlike wonder of what is alcohol and what are comic books.
Yeah. Because I'll do that right now with, like, video games, which isn't always good because I'll come back. And I'm like, I don't know where my guy is. Or back when I played World of Warcraft, I'd come back and a dungeon, which is typically for 5 people, but it's just my guy by himself. I'm like, oh no, I made 4 other people's lives miserable because
That's a help that, like, when I overdrink, I try to write music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's just like terrible,
amazing,
incoherent lyrics that I probably thought was super deep.
Man, this is deep.
I just did this the other day.
You wrote a song?
I wrote a concept for a song. I don't want to get into it. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just really like comic books, and I think I saw this interesting thing that's like about how the comic book heroes now. Like, and how they're all in movies and stuff, and how it's like it's less nerd culture, and it's becoming more generic pop culture,
mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream, and how they kind of are like our generations or our millennia's Greco-Roman gods. Like, even like just the sense of like these stories. Obviously, we don't.
Yeah,
no one believes in them, but like you have all these different stories, and like
Superman is known throughout the whole world.
Yeah,
and he's known as like a powerful being, and everybody knows he's not real, but
right. But you can map him also. Superman, you can map to Zeus, and Batman, you can map to Hades. And even though Hades has, in like the Disney movies, is portrayed as a villain, an actual Greco-Roman mythology, he's not a villain. He's just another dude, and they all have to work together sometimes. You know, when they're fighting Titans and things like that,
or like Ultron.
That's different. You fucking idiot. Hey, I'm going to stage with reality. You're embarrassing us on the podcast. What kind of nerd are you?
Who's big Justice League guy they fight?
Darkseid.
Yeah, and he comes from the planet Apocalypse.
Oh, like
not to be confused with Apocalypse from the X-Men.
Now, I love Apocalypse from X-Men. That guy's my dude.
What's his power?
He has a lot of powers.
No, he has one power. What is his power?
I don't know. He changes self.
He has one power. What's his power?
He can change his body.
He has the power to alter reality.
Oh, okay.
That is why it seems like he has so many powers.
Got it. I was like, I've seen him shoot lasers. I've seen him be a man. See him have a spike hand. See him be big boy.
Nope. Big
boy from Outkast.
Big boy. He was big boy for a good 10 years.
Yeah,
was the Speaker Box album. That was Apocalypse.
I thought Apocalypse as big boy was the best years.
It was the best years of Outkast.
He's a strong guy. He's blue.
Where you guys are now in your improv careers or comedy careers in general? How do you feel, and like, where do you ultimately want to go?
I feel okay, mostly because I know why I didn't get cast was because I could not go to any of the college stuff.
I didn't even. This is the first time this is being referenced.
Yeah, no one's saying you're bad at improv.
Just want to say forever all the hate. No. Basically, I'm saying that, you know, even though I'm not on a team, I know that it's not because I'm a bad person, and it's okay. And if I would have been able to go to callbacks, my understanding is the buzz was positive. So yeah, I don't know what my I don't really see improv. Improv has always been a stepping stone for me.
But comedy career, general comedy
right.
career.
Right.
You do the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast makes me money, so I want to be good and get better and do that. And
so
then
you can do that full-time and not have to have your job.
Exactly. And also transition into like more traditional acting and stand-up and stuff like that. So I want to be on more – I want to be able to be challenged by being with people that are better than me. And improv, I think I've been – I haven't had that as much. Not to sound like an a-hole, but sometimes when you're on a fresh blend or whatever, definitely down, notwithstanding, we're all delicious and beautiful.
I think we all push each other.
Right, exactly. But, you know, in some, like, sometimes indie teams and things like that, you know, it's like, oh, it's just people's friends, what, not talking shit, whatever.
Whatever, you know, don't say a specific indie team, then you're not talking shit.
But, you know.
If you really want to talk about horseplay, awful.
I don't know what that is.
Just
is that a real one? Diner carpet is
horse
like the worst. Play
is the worst.
Yeah, fucking hate horse play.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, the worst. But yeah, just like because you see Andrew on Rabbit, and it's like Andrew's the worst person on Rabbit, and everyone sees it. They say it.
Yeah, no, people have come up to me and tell me I'm dragging the team down.
No, he's not the worst person. That's not true.
But I'm definitely not.
You're like the one of the greenest, and being able to see him, they're like not only like hold his own, but also like. Command and presence is like, that sounds great, where you have to play up to, like, these power. Because people on Rabbit's, like, my favorite team. Bust my whole shit up.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. You're right here. You're doing it. You're doing it.
And Tim's flipping me off right now.
I showed him my ball.
Just one.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with what Tim's saying is, like, well, one, I want to manage my time better. I say yes to too many things, I think. And not that I'm not having fun with every
right.
single thing.
Let me interrupt you in saying, not being on a major team and as many indie teams right now, I have so many free days, and it is kind of awesome that it makes me scared to be like, do I want to jump back in? Oh, God.
No, you got to jump back in.
I'm either like all in or all out. Like,
yeah,
like,
that's how I am. I'm like all in. But I don't say yes to something unless it's I can say yes to one of these two questions, and it's, am I going to have an amazing amount of fun
right.
working with these people? So that needs to be a yes or yeah, it is. I can meet my future spouse. No, or that I'm going to be challenged in this.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing that Seven Deadly Sins play thing that's coming up in September because it's scripted work and I don't really get to do that a lot. And so my comedy career for the future is I want to keep pushing myself like I am now, and I want to get more involved with, like, sketch stuff. I really am interested in getting back into that video sketch stuff that I did in, you know, late high school, early college, and writing more. Stand-up's a little scary for me because I think of it like this. Like, stand-up is...
You're doing stand-up soon, aren't you?
I'm doing stand-up next week. I've written like two jokes. That's my time, 30 seconds.
Don't do jokes. Just do what I do and tell stories.
I might just fall back on... But I want to try and tell new stories. Some stories I haven't told before. So stand-up scares me because I think of it as like a one-on-one date, and I don't do that. It makes me super nervous.
You don't go on one-on-one dates?
No. It makes me so nervous. I just don't like it. It feels...
work out?
I mean, I'm single.
You want to go on a date with three other people? Yeah.
No, but like, I think, so stand-up is a one-on-one date, whereas improv is like a group date.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people there.
Well, I always see stand-up versus improv as like, stand-up is the, you're preparing, and that then it's just like, it's all on you and everything prepared. Improv is you and your buds. Shooting the shit, you know.
Yeah.
You don't prepare, you get experience and skills.
Yeah.
And improv. But if you don't have stuff prepared for stand-up necessarily, besides riffing and so forth, you'll eat shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's mine is, in the future, keep pushing myself in improv, keep growing, and then also kind of jumping into some sketch and writing more. I do want to do that.
Nice. What do you guys got coming up for shows?
Well, we got, this is dropping tomorrow.
Yeah.
So today it is Thursday. the, what, 16th?
16th. Thursday the 16th.
Thursday the 16th, we got Devlin Down is playing at the Indie Night at the Riot.
Mm-hmm.
And then next Thursday, Devlin Down is at the Awkward Compliment Show.
Ooh, that's going to be a good show.
At Davis Square Theater. And then me personally, I got Comedy Sports this Saturday at Davis Square, 7 p.m. And next week, Rabbit's back on Havel Night, 7:30, IB.
Nice.
I don't have other shows because I'm not on...
Well, you couldn't make the callbacks.
I could not make the callbacks, so that's why I'm not on team. And the indie things I'm doing. But, you know, if you're around on the internet and want to watch some cool dudes and dudettes play...
Do they watch you, or is this...
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was audio.
It is, but we stream it on twitch.tv/geeklyinc. Usually every other...
Ink with a C or K?
C. Yeah. Every other Thursday. And if you go to that channel, you can see our some of our older stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. As far as I go, this Friday the 17th at 10, I got... It's my favorite show that I'm part of. It's called Rhythm and Laughs at the Riot. It combines each... It's a monthly show. It combines live music and improv. We get a singer-songwriter, a different singer-songwriter every month to perform 5 to 6 of their own songs. In between each song, a cast of improvisers will improvise a montage based on the song we just heard. It's a good blend of the two genres, and it's just a ton of fun. We got Bait coming up, the Boston Annual Improv Tournament. That's Sundays in August. Drive-By Truckers, is that the team you direct?
Oh, Truck Stop Diner.
Truck Stop Diner.
Drive-By Truckers is a good team name.
I think it's
a band.
I think it's a country band.
And I just want to say that you should go to Rhythm and Laughs, and I've only heard good things about it. But I won't be there because it's, if everyone knows, Friday's a weekend, and I don't go to the Viad on the weekends.
It's too far.
It's too far.
It's the Orange Line.
What else? Oh, Improv Cares. Come sign up for Improv Cares. It's a volunteer coalition of improvisers that will teach free improv lessons to organizations in need. If you know of an organization in need, sign up. Check out the Improv Cares Facebook page. You can either volunteer, or if you know of an organization, there's a sign-up sheet there as well. We met with our first organization last week, and we might be trying to start a pilot program in August. So we need more volunteers. And then... That's about it. Check out On Point Improv in August. That's the indie show for new teams and veteran teams that want to try something new. We got What Else You Gonna Do Wednesday at Maggie's Lounge. Wednesday, the second Wednesday of every month at Maggie's Lounge in Quincy. And hopefully you'll see me on House Teams.
Woo! Yeah. You hear it here. He's going to do it.
Yeah. He's gonna do it.
This is gonna be like the point that everybody calls back when I don't make it. Like,
yeah,
hey, remember
this is
the beginning
bragging?
Of
the end. Right here.
Remember episode 90?
Oh, that schmuck.
Oh, man.
All right, well, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tim.
Hey,
and
thank you.
Thanks for listening. Bye.